Good morning and a very happy Easter to you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Martin. I'm pastor here at Stroud Christian Fellowship. I've entitled my talk this morning, The Hope of Easter. Hope is a word we use often as a mere wish. You know, I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope the car starts. I hope I find a parking space. I hope we, when we come out of lockdown, we can get a table at our favorite restaurant. I hope there's ice cream. We use hope like this, don't we? We've got a desire that things will work out. The hope of Easter is different. Biblical hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised through his word, through his strength. You see, his strength is in his character of his faithfulness and love. For us as a nation, hope is building, isn't it, for the end of lockdown? And this past year has been quite a storm. But at Easter, we remember the ultimate storm, the ultimate, also happy ending. After darkness, light. After the darkness of the cross, the light that the resurrection brings. I wonder if you this morning could put yourself into the shoes of the disciples during Easter week. How would you have felt? From the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus, a celebrity. But then what about on the night that Jesus was arrested? If they, the disciples, felt suddenly as though their entire world had changed right before their eyes. One minute they're enjoying dinner with Jesus and the next he's been put into a borrowed tomb. I can imagine them, can't you, shaking their heads, wondering what had happened over the last 24 hours of their lives. In those moments, all hope had died. The Messiah that was going to save them was now dead. The authorities had won. The occupying force had prevailed. There was despair and loss, grief and confusion. It was hopeless. Now, we, of course, have the privilege of being on the other side of history. We can see the signals that Jesus was giving them. They might have missed them, but we can see the signals. He was quoting Old Testament scripture, explaining the demolition and the rebuilding of the temple, about his body being eaten and his blood being drunk. We get these things. We look back and we can see the prophecies and where they fit, because we've got the whole story, haven't we? We've got the whole Bible. We know that on Easter Sunday, Jesus would conquer the grave and come back to life. We know that literally hundreds of people will see the resurrected Jesus in the days after. We know that Jesus will talk and eat with the disciples. We know he'll provide more miracles and even a barbecue on the beach. We read the Bible and we know these things. And so somehow that day doesn't look quite so bleak to us. But to the disciples, that night was their everything. All their hopes and dreams crushed as Jesus was arrested. Jesus had spent those last few hours with his best friends, encouraging them, guiding them in how he wanted them to live. He washed their feet. He commanded them to love one another. He told them about the counselor who would comfort them. He prayed for them. And he prayed for us. And then he walked into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray and was arrested. Right before the disciples' eyes, their best friend, their guide, their teacher, their rabbi was taken away for crimes he didn't commit. And hope drained and disappeared before their eyes. Now, thankfully, we know the ending. We know what transpired over the next few days. And this begins to give us hope, doesn't it? Jesus knew that his time on earth wasn't without purpose. And incidentally, nor is yours or mine. And for Jesus, that purpose was about to be completed. Friday was dark and bleak and seemed hopeless to those watching. How would you have coped? How would I have coped? How would we have responded? How would we have reacted? Knowing that if they've got it in for Jesus, you know your name is on the list too, don't you? What will you do next? When it appears like the world has won, Jesus is dead. He didn't rescue himself on the cross. He hung there and died. And it seems like the whole plan had failed. How in the world could Jesus let this happen? Now hope is dead too, isn't it? When we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the fact that when Jesus was crucified, he battled with sin and he conquered it once and for all. And the price of sin, our sin, was paid by Jesus on the cross. But that's not where the story ends. The sun rises on Easter Sunday, that first resurrection Sunday, and changes everything. Can you imagine, too, the joy of that Sunday morning, 2,000 odd years ago, when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb? She was distraught that her teacher, her friend, her leader had been taken away. And then Jesus calls her name, Mary. She immediately turns round to see him. He is alive. Her rabbi's not dead. He's alive. Sunday is the day that changed it all for her, for the disciples, and for us. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he rose again, defeating sin, defeating death for all time. Now, this brings us hope. Because although we still live in days of global pandemic in a broken world, and our lives may still have sorrow and pain and sickness and unwanted diagnoses and even death, Jesus's death brings us hope in the midst of the messiness of life, that this is not the end. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can boldly proclaim the truth that Paul proclaims in his book to the Romans. He says this: I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. We have a hope awaiting us in heaven that infinitely outshines anything we might experience here. The resurrection of Jesus confirms hope for us. Now, I want you to imagine being one of the characters at the Last Supper, or the arrest, or at his arrest, or at his trial, or at his encounter, sorry, or at his crucifixion. I'd like you to imagine what it was like to encounter the risen Jesus. Can you imagine how you would have felt if you'd encountered the risen Jesus? For Mary, at the tomb, she sees her teacher and friend, and he calls her. It's a distinct moment of intimacy and care as Jesus calls her by name. We know that we too are called by name. We have a hope that even today, he calls you as an individual and says your name. For the disciples who are in a locked room, they're fearful. They don't know what's happening next. They can't quite believe the stories they'd be told by the ladies that had run to the tomb. And suddenly, there is Jesus in the midst of them. Imagine the shock and the joy in knowing locked doors or a tomb won't contain Jesus. We have the hope that he sees you right where you are and enters your situation with you. For doubting Thomas, who Jesus invites to put his fingers into the scars of crucifixion, into his side, Jesus says, "Here I am. I understand your doubts. I understand how you feel. Here, let me help you." To the weary disciples, as fishermen have gone out to fish and caught nothing, Jesus gives them not just a huge catch of fish, but a barbecue on the beach too, is already being prepared. In the midst of your normal workaday life, there's hope. And Jesus says, "Let me provide for you. Let me sustain you. Let me be with you." Then there was Peter, the apostle Peter, who had denied Jesus three times. He felt awful. He'd messed up. How could Jesus ever forgive him? But Peter isn't just restored. He's reminded of how much Jesus loves him, and he's given a fresh commission. We have hope that no matter who you are, what you've done, how you feel, Jesus loves you and wants to give you a fresh commission. And then there's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's about being on the road to Emmaus, and there's these two disciples, and they've just been downcast because of all the events in Jerusalem and the cross and Jesus dying, and they just don't get it. And suddenly this character walks alongside them and starts to talk to them, and they invite him in and they have a meal. And as they break bread together, their eyes are opened and they see Jesus. They see the risen Christ for who he is. I pray that today, no matter whatever you're going through, whether you're downcast, whether you're jubilant or happy, whatever, that your eyes might be opened and that you will see Jesus. You would have that hope of seeing Jesus afresh. See, this is our hope. This is what sustains us. This is what sustains us. Easter brings us hope in the uncertainty of hard days. Hope in the midst of that diagnosis we'd rather we didn't have. Hope in the middle of our situations. Hope even in the middle of a pandemic. Yes, I hope you have a great Easter. I hope the weather's kind to you, that your car starts, you get that parking spot. I hope you get the restaurant reservation. I hope there is indeed ice cream. There's nothing wrong in any of those hopes. But I also hope that you experience the hope of Easter, the hope that Jesus has risen from the dead. Death is defeated. The God who says, "I am," keeps his promises, and the eternal hope for you is restored. That's the hope of Easter. May your eyes be opened, and may you have a fabulous Easter.